Welcome to our second week in the series of Great People in the Old Testament. My dad, Pastor Salem, would say we are gathering at the feet of Jesus wherever we are, one body in Christ drawn together. We hope today's message, Daniel, a man who finished well, will be of comfort to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, and God has brought us on our way, and here we can get together, and we can gather all around the world, all over the world, and we have one central point, and that's the feet of Jesus. And we come to Him today, and we're gathered all together, and we're going to look at His Word and trust His Word, and we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to worship Him. And we're going to encourage God's people, and we're going to help others to come to know you that don't know you. So bless this service, dear Jesus. Today we're going to be preaching about Daniel, a man who finished well, finished strong. But before that, I want to read some letters. Everybody likes the letters. So here's one from Minot, North Dakota. And they write and say, "We have listened to your broadcast off and on for over the last 15 years. We have a very wonderful home church here in town, but when we've been unable to go to church on Sundays or snowed in or someone's sick, we've been blessed by your service, your service and your sermon. The church on TV, wow. Our children now in their 20s enjoy it too. Thanks for sharing and keeping on broadcasting. It's just not just for older folks watching. The younger ones rely on you too." And you know we do hear from young people. We hear from children. And when we preach so that the children can understand. And we figure if the children can understand, everybody can understand. So it's just down home preaching the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Love it. Here's Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they say, "You have been a guiding star with all your meaningful and uplifting messages. I've been watching your services for many years. Haven't been able to attend church, so you are my godsend. I'm one of those lonely ones that you can make smile. I am so thankful for you and your added stories and your sermons. Keep on keeping on." Then writes and says, "From one country kid to another country kid." Yes, we're both from the country and we're proud of it. And it says, "One country kid." And look at what, and then look at how she closes. "Thank you, Brother Salem. You are a light in a world that doesn't want God." Doesn't want to make you cry. You're a light in a world that doesn't want God. And I thought the words of Jesus in John 3:19, when Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." And then he tells us why they love darkness rather than light. Jesus said, "Because their deeds were evil." And so we preach the light of the world and it shines into darkened hearts and people are born again. We'll never give up. Just like Daniel will stay with it. Omaha, Nebraska. And this lady didn't give me an address, but gave me her name. And I don't usually use these letters, but this one I have to use because I want all of you to pray. Here's what she writes. She's in despair. "Hopefully by the time you read my letter, I'll no longer be on this horrible earth. I've lost all my faith, hope, and will to live. God has forsaken me. The past 2 months especially have been hell on earth, but still I persevere and pray and beg God for mercy on me, and every day I wake up, it's a slap in the face. A new crisis every day that doesn't end, only gets worse. In fact, if you decide to pray for me, pray for a quick and painless death." Well, I wish I had this lady, I could write to her, but I'm going to tell her. I hope she's watching. And I want her to know that the God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to the cross and paid for your sins with his blood, paid for the sins of the world. But if you would have been the only one, he loved you so much, he would have died for you. And maybe things look glum and maybe things look hard. They do for most of us at one time or another. But keep your eyes on Jesus and never give up and love him because he loves you. And you can just know that he'll see you through. Just never give up. I wish I could write to this dear lady. I hope she writes back. And then one more I want to read. It's from Winter, South Dakota. And that's a little town in west, southern part of South Dakota. And I just have to read this letter because it's a good letter, but also because my wife, Beulah, graduated from Winter High School. And she graduated, and then she joined me in 1946, and she was with me 59 and a half years. And without her, I don't think I would have made it. I'd have been like this lady, filled with despair. But she always helped me and always stood with me. And she never told me it was a lousy sermon. And oh boy, did I preach some doozies. And I might preach one of them today. Who knows? But she would say, that was good. That was good. God will use it. See, and I kept it going. God bless her. I can't wait to see her. Well, here's this person writes. This is a man writing. Thank you very much for being a dedicated disciple. This is what he says. You helped save my life with your true Bible knowledge. And what he's saying is, I taught the Word of God. I gave the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit took the Word of God, applied it to his heart, convicted him of his sin, and he prayed to receive Jesus, and now he's born again, and he has new life. And it's all I am is I'm just preaching the Word. A parent could do that. And you just preach the Word, and God takes that, Holy Spirit takes that Word and speaks all over the world. And there's all kinds of people and all kinds of situations, all kinds of sins, and all of it. And God's Holy Spirit, this one here, this one here, this one here, he applies it to every heart. That's why I love to preach, because I know when I preach, the Holy Spirit is applying that Word to God, and people are being saved, and Christians are being helped. Praise God. And so you just pray for us as we pray for you now. But now we want to look at Daniel. Here's a man who finished well. He's a man that some Bible scholars say is the most influential man in all of the Old Testament. And he's especially influential to young men. So we want to look at Daniel. His name means God is my judge. And true to his name, Daniel lived his long life, 90 years or maybe a little more. We don't know for exactly, but he used his life standing for God, the judge of the righteous judge of the universe. And he lived that life for God because he feared God and loved God. And that's the way you and I live it if we're Christians. And so we know nothing of Daniel's family or early life, but we know that he was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel. And this took place in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So we know it was about 605 B.C. He not only did Nebuchadnezzar capture the land, but he took the sacred silver and gold vessels out of the temple that had been dedicated to God, and he took them and he used them in his own personal use. And then he also took the finest young men that he could find, and he wanted to use them in his court and use them in his kingdom. And so he picked about four young men from Jerusalem. They would have been 13 to 15 years of age. Their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. But in Babylon, when the king took them over, he renamed them. And he renamed Daniel Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These all young men were all without blemish. They were handsome. They were skillful in wisdom. They were endowed with knowledge. They understood science. And they were good enough to be in the king's palace, and he's going to use them in future use in his kingdom. The young men are getting to Babylon. They are giving over to a man called Alphinez, and he was the master of the chief of the eunuchs. And these four Hebrew young people were under him, and these four young people ate from the king's table. What was good enough for the king was good enough for them. That's how wonderful it was. But Daniel had a problem because that food that meat they were bringing in had been offered to idols, and Daniel would have no part of it. And that wine had been used as an oblation to their gods of the Chaldeans, and Daniel would have nothing to do with it. And so he refuses, and he asks Alphinez, would you just do me a favor? Would you let my young men, would you let us just eat vegetables and drink water. That's all we ask. And they allowed him to do that. Now, the Jews were allowed to eat meat. Don't get the idea that he's a vegetarian, but because they were allowed to eat certain kinds of meat. No problem with that. But it was because it was a desecrated meal, and Daniel refused to do it. And so these young men have this gift. And for 3 years, the young men find these four Hebrew young people to be excellent and standout men. And they're coming in knowledge and wisdom, and they're just excellent men. And then there was that night when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream, there was a giant image that was destroyed and ground to powder. And then the king dropped off to sleep, and he awoke. He couldn't remember what he had dreamed, but he knew he had a dream, and it drove him crazy. He wanted to know what the dream meant. So he called all of his wise men, these wise men in his kingdom, and he says, I had a dream. Tell me what it was and what it meant. And the poor wise men, they're pulling out their, called in, wise men are pulling out their hair. How can they tell him what it meant if they don't know what the dream was? And they are nonplussed, and so the king threatens to kill them all if they don't tell him what he dreamed. Wow, what a wonderful king. And then Daniel comes on the scene. And when Daniel hears that's what's in the works, he and his three companions, the first thing they do, they go to the king and they say, we can reveal to you, because God has given to Daniel a special gift of revealing and having revealing dreams and visions and such as that. And Daniel says, we can tell you what the dream was and what it meant. And the king said, I want to know that. And Daniel says, we have to go back to our quarters and we have to pray. And we'll come back and tell you. And at the appointed time, Daniel comes back. He interprets the king's dream. He and his companion are loaded with gifts and are given high positions in the kingdom. On another time, Daniel interprets a dream the king has of a great tree that is chopped down by an angel. And Daniel tells the king that this is predicting the insanity of the king, that he's going to be insane for a time, and that's history. History has it that this man was insane for a while, lived with animals. Daniel's third great appearance comes as he's asked to explain the mysterious writing on the wall. You remember the story? At this time, Belshazzar is the king, and he has a magnificent palace, and he has a drunken party. That's all they knew to do, just like today. They have to drink. They have to have liquor. And they get soused and they get drunk and they don't know what they're doing. And so this old Nebuchadnezzar, he takes those beautiful vessels out of the sacred temple of God and he drinks from them and makes great toasts to his God and desecrates them every way he can. And then while they're taking this, because God says, you're not to use strong drink, you're not to touch strong drink. That's what they did with those sacred vessels. And then all of a sudden, there's some writing on the wall. And it's just a hand, nothing else. And it writes, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Perez. And the king is scared half to death. And who does he call? Daniel. And Daniel comes and he interprets the writing. And he says, Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And so Daniel's interpretation was correct. And that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. And Daniel became of such stature that Darius thought of, he had a huge worldwide kingdom. He thought of making Daniel the ruler of the whole kingdom. But he finally decided he would put three people and under three different leaders, and Daniel would be one of them. Now look at his high position under Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar comes to the throne, he's chief of the wise men. And he was at the gate of the king. He was the governor. Daniel was a key figure in the kingdom at that time. Under Belshazzar, he was made the third ruler of the entire kingdom. Under Darius the Mede, he was made one of three presidents of the whole kingdom. Daniel was always humble. And all of the while, Darius the Mede, he aroused the All the time he is serving Andreas the meat. The people around him, these other realtors, get jealous of him. And they say, we've got to do something with Daniel. He's too powerful. He's the king is listening too much to him. We've got to do something. And so let's find out something he's doing wrong. We'll blackmail him. But they couldn't find anything wrong. They couldn't discredit him every way. There isn't a... Now, Daniel sinned just like any other man. But there isn't any sin marked against Daniel in the Bible. And they could not find a thing. And finally they say, oh, I know what we will do. We will say that anybody that bows before another god, other one prays to another god other than Darius, will be put in the den of lions. And of course, Daniel prayed every day, four times a day at an open window. He prayed to his god. And they found that, and they went to Darius. And they said, well, after, and they said, tell him, look at what Daniel has done. He has defied your king. He has defied your throne. And he's going to put you, he's praying to somebody else. And Darius, he says, oh, my God. He loved Daniel, but he has to be put in the lion's den. So he's cast into the lion's den. You don't remember the story. And the lions can't touch him. God sends an angel, and they all have lockjaw. And they can't do a thing. And the next morning, Darius comes, and he looks, and he says, oh, my goodness. Daniel, are you all right? Are you all right? And sure enough, he was safe because God watched over him. And so then they cast the men who brought these false accusations, cast them into the lion's den. And the gods of the Babylonians was as strong as the god of the Israelites. And so they lost, and they lost in their kingdom. So the beautiful picture of Daniel, and he serves until he's up to his 90s. Maybe into his 90s, we're not just sure. But the fact is that he never stopped serving God. And from that, I want to look at three things. First of all, Daniel lived for God in a wicked world. As a young person, 13 to 15 years of age, Daniel was carried away from his family, his friends, his surroundings. He was taken to a city that was filled with idolatry and all kinds of wickedness. And this poor Daniel, there he stood. And he stood, though, true to God. He was a teenager, and he stood for God, and he never failed once. And just people say, oh, the days are so evil. It's so hard. You can't live by the Lord. You can't live that Christian life in a sick and wicked world. You cannot blame the world for not living for God, because Jesus Christ is here. And God was there in the Spirit helping Daniel, and the Holy Spirit is here to help you. And we can live a godly life in a wicked world, and that's what we ought to do. And then he was a man of integrity. And so all the time is he had an excellent attitude. He was faithful in his work. He had a personal purity, and he lived for the Lord. He kept it just as clean as he could. And they discovered no negligence or corruption in him. He had a constant walk with God, and he was open about his faith in God, and he let the whole world know, I am a follower of God Almighty. I am a follower of the God of Abraham, Jacob, and I'm, no matter what happens, I'm going to follow God. And that's our pattern for life today. Over and over you read of Daniel going to God for prayer, for help, and that's what we have to do. Just pray. Just pray that God will help us and give us guidance and direction. Pray that he'll watch over us. Pray that he'll help us to have good wisdom. Pray that we'll shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then third, Daniel served God as long as he lived. Daniel kept going for God as long as God gave him breath. When Darius the Mede came into power, he chose three commissioners, and one of them was Daniel, and he was approaching 90 years of age. When that happened, and there he lives for God, and he stands for God, and so far as we know, he maybe even served under Cyrus, the king Cyrus. Daniel was true to God into his 90, at least 90, and maybe more, and he did it because he loved God, and he never retired, and he never dropped out. And all of you today, you in youth we serve God, but in old age we serve God. So God tells us in Psalm 92, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And fat literally means, it means fresh and flourishing. Flesh and flourishing, fresh. You know what? Old age has absolutely no effect upon the soul. If the soul can flourish, the soul can grow, the soul can become stronger, the soul can bear fruit. That's possible, and that's what Paul says. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The Apostle Paul is saying the old body is decaying, it's dying, yes, but the inner body, inner soul is growing and is becoming stronger. And just remember, you walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. You may have to slow down. You may have to shift gears, but we never stop serving God. And people write and they'll say, "Well, why am I here on earth? What do I do? What good am I?" And you're here because your work for God isn't done. And it doesn't matter who you are or your physical condition, young or old, incapacitated, paralyzed, it doesn't matter. You can still pray. You can still witness. You can still shine for Jesus. And your body may deteriorate, but the inner soul grows stronger. And we're not one day closer to the grave. We're one day closer to glory. That's the way to look at it. So no matter what your condition, stay true. We got a letter from San Francisco from a lady, and this is what she writes. "I'm flat in bed for 28 years with daily pain, 83 years old, and my Lord is so faithful and good. His grace is sufficient. His love sustains me, and God allows it. He uses me to witness to many, either by phone, to strangers across America, Europe, India, Philippines. Many come to Jesus." Look, she's calling people all over the world. She can't get out of bed. And she's witnessing all over the world. She says, "Many come to Jesus." This, she goes on and says, "You don't have to use your legs and feet to spread the gospel. Jesus is coming soon. Glory to God. God bless you all." That's what Paul is saying. He's saying to his dying day, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Did you get that? He says, "I press." That is, I follow after. It's the ideal of an intense endeavor. The Greeks use that word, pressed, as a hunter pursuing his prey. I'm giving everything I have. I'm in bed, but I'm giving my soul. I'm giving my thoughts. I'm giving my prayers, I'm giving my witness, I'm giving my smile. I'm not being crabby and grumpy, but I know I have Jesus, and I'm serving him until he takes me home, just like Daniel. As a matter of fact, the closer Paul came to the goal, to the finish line, the more effort he put into serving Christ. You know what, in the Indy 500, you know what they do when they come to that finish line, when they come to that last round? Do they sit back and coast through? No, they don't give up the race. They, like the young people say, they press the pedal to the metal. They put every effort they have to win that race. So look at Daniel at the close of his life, 90 years old or more, active in the courts of Darius and very possibly King Cyrus. And what was he doing in his old age? Serving Jesus to his dying day. Serving Jesus and serving God with his last breath and his last prayer. And my friend, that's your calling and that's my calling, to give our best to Jesus Christ and to serve him with all our might and main. But you know something? You can't serve him if you don't know him. You have to know him first. And you know him by asking him to come into your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I want to be on your team. I want to serve you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. And thank you, Jesus." That's all you have to do in your own words. I was 10 years old and I made that prayer. And Jesus has been there 85 years. And he'll be there forever. There'll be no end to it. And that's why we have to give all we have to Jesus. So you need to pray that prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And or if you want to, you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. You can send a gift anywhere in the world. We'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. And so you can have a part in this, in giving. You can all have a part in praying. And so just be sure to do that. We're going to close with a prayer. And in our prayer, we're going to pray that many of you will accept Jesus and you write to us, we'll send you literature. And we have a little Bible study we put out, the new song, and you'll just love that. And it's free and postpaid. We'll send that. So you just get that down. And you people now on shortwave, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Now, dear Jesus, thank you that we can be like Daniel. We can't be in a kingdom and we can't be in with the kings and the queens, but we can walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can be your servant. And Lord, I just pray, and I pray for the persecuted church, especially our brothers and sisters in Syria. Oh, encourage them, and many of them are giving their lives, and they're losing their homes, and they're losing their families, and they're losing their loved ones, but they'll never lose Jesus, and he'll never lose them. Encourage them and bless them and help them, oh God, and help us to be more dedicated when we see our brothers and sisters dying for you, and here we sit fat and sassy. Help us to give ourselves all Christ, everything we have. And oh, God, bless us. And then I pray for those that just opened their heart to you. Pray that they'll write to us, Lord. We got it on the screen there. And just help them to write to us. And then, dear Lord, to those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and those don't know which way to turn, we just pray that you'll bless them and help them. Help them to know that you sit underneath of the everlasting arms. You'll never leave them or forsake them because you love them and care for them. And so, dear Lord, just have your way. And now we just pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank all of you for watching today and listening. We hope to hear from you. Hope you help us in the work. Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We're going to be looking for your letters and your gifts and your prayers. And we'll keep on if you keep on. But if you don't help us, we have to stop. That's all there is to it. So you say, Lord, is this something you want? And then he'll tell you whether you should help or not. And just follow the direction of the Spirit. So we pray that you'll have a great week. Next weekend, we're going to be looking for you. We're going to be looking at Esther, Shining Star Esther. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.